It's time to review Dune Part 2 with Albert and Kelvin. Albert, what's your... How do you feel going into Dune Part 2? Do you have quite the hype on it?
Yes and no. I've never read the Dune books. I've never been much of a reader, to be honest, but I try to. But I've never read the Dune books. I like fantasy stuff. I like sci-fi stuff. I was one of those people who was not huge on the first Dune. Like, I think it's a technical marvel. It's a great technical achievement in terms of directing, cinematography, music, like all the stuff. Couldn't care less for the plot. I really don't care that much for the plot. Of the first one, and I did rewatch it before going to Dune 2, and my opinion slightly improved, but like my issues with the plot is still pretty much the same. I'm like, yeah, it's a setup, and I think it falls into the same trope of like the Mockingjay part one, part two. Deathly Hallows part one, part two kind of thing. So I think, and then after watching second one, I realized that a lot of it is just setup. So yeah, I wasn't too huge on the hype, but like all my friends love it, so I'm like, okay, then this one probably will be good. So I have open mind, but I was, again, like my hype level is like not to the insane levels, as I'm guessing a lot of movie fans are. How about you?
I'm about the same level that you. Again, not that huge on part one, because I just thought it's very slow. Yeah,
it is. It is slow. Again, yeah, it's like so much setup and everything. But
but part two though, man, that was a fun watch. That was incredibly fun.
A spectacular film. A Dune-tacular film, you know, just like the score itself by Hans Zimmer is enough to like give me 5 stars. That whole the score, the musical sequence in the movie, woo!
Dude, so good. Not just a score, even all the sound design and everything. I watched it in IMAX, right? That is like, man, just like Oppenheimer, you know, you can feel the vibration when the thumper hits, whenever the sandworms appears and such. I'm like, damn, that is some good stuff right there.
Yeah, I had to change my tickets because I purchased it like way earlier and something came up, so I canceled my tickets for Thursday. So I watched it on Saturday, but I purchased my tickets for the last minute because I had to cancel it and everything. So I didn't get a good seat. So I got a seat on the very left, on the very edge, on the aisle seat, basically. And because of that, I watched it in Dolby because I'm guessing that's where the speakers are, right?
Yeah.
My chair literally vibrates during some of the moments. I was like during Sandstorm or like when the sandworm riding. It was like, oh my god, this is a 4DX movie. It's shaking. I'm like, this is so awesome. So I'm like, I'm having fun enjoying like the moment of like everything. But yeah, watch it in Dolby and IMAX if you have a chance to watch it, if you haven't.
I think it's worth it to watch in IMAX.
It's worth it in IMAX. Watch it in Dolby. That's dope. So yeah.
Yeah. But overall though, Albert, thoughts on the movie? You go first this time.
Yeah, so like I said, I wasn't huge on the first one. Again, it was technical marvel, issues with the plot. The second one, technical marvel still, like we mentioned. Sound design, score, cinematography. Greg Fraser, who did the cinematography for this one and the first one, as well as the Batman, among many others. Incredible, so many great shots that you could like screenshot literally and become like a wallpaper. Incredibly brilliant shot. All the performance is good. I don't think there's a single weak performance. Like, I can run through every single cast, and I think all of them are pretty freaking terrific. I don't think anyone could have directed except Denis Villeneuve. He directed it really well, and I don't have any issues with the plot this time around. I thought the plot was fantastic. Obviously, it's based on a book, so I'm like, I'm not surprised because the book is one of the best sci-fi fantasy book of all time. So I'm like, not surprised that the story is great. And unlike the first one, when the first one came out, when I left the theater, I'm like, okay, dope. I guess I'll see the second one. This time I left the theater, I'm like, okay, dope. Give me the next one.
I want to see part the next three one. Now. Yeah.
Yeah. Dune Messiah. Hopefully it's coming soon. So
that
yeah.
is true. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'll start with that. How about you?
Yeah. I'm in agreement with Albert. This time in part two, and we did the build up already in part one, right? So part two is all about, you know, we get to feel the bonding more, I guess, between the main character, right? Especially with Timothy Chalamet character. Paul and
yeah,
is that her name?
Chani.
Chani? Yeah, Chani. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Zendaya's.
Yeah, Paul and Chani. So we get to see more of that bonding. Their chemistry is really good on camera, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, they have good chemistry.
And then, of course, there's a bunch of action and all the action sequences. Man, whenever so they good. Took you out, they bring up the wide shots. I'm the like, scope. Woo! The scope, the scale, it's so grand. I just love it so much whenever they did that. Yeah. And what are there? Like, even the performances by Austin Butler, right? Mm-hmm. He's in the movie as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the last time I saw him was him as Elvis.
Elvis.
So he turns to this now. I'm like, whoa, that's a huge change. But yeah, again, great performance. The actions are great as well. Yeah, in this one. I love it so much. Though I do have a few complaints, though. That.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There are some, I would say, kind of like, is it plot B? Not really plot B, but like some story with the side characters that's it's just kind of lackluster, like with Gurney and such wanting revenge and
on.
Yeah, that one's kind of lackluster. There's the whole what you call that, some death of the quite important characters, I guess. It's also kind of lackluster. It's just like, oh, okay, that well,
yeah,
that's sad.
I think they probably had to cut a lot of stuff from the book. I'm guessing the book is way more dense. I already know some of my with some of my friends has complained of like some specific detail that they omit from the books to the movie. Mm. Which again, since I don't know, I'm like, okay, that's still I think that makes sense why they cut it. I'm not so sure. I don't think it took away too much, but according to them, it's like, oh, they didn't include this, and that's like a big part of it, and it's like that omits a lot of part. I'm like, oh, okay, I don't know. I thought it worked just fine, but yeah, I can see where they're coming from. To piggyback on your cast stuff, Austin Butler, I've seen him obviously in Elvis, right? I've seen him in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but also my first. Do you know what the first film I ever see him in is?
What was it?
Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure. The spin-off from High School Musical. That was the first film I ever seen him. I'm like, oh, whoa, Austin Butler, nice. I wonder what his career is going to be. Cut to a couple of years later, Elvis.
I didn't expect this.
Like, oh, shit. Oh, my God. Whoa. Yeah. But yeah, Rebecca Ferguson I thought was awesome as Lady Jessica. Yeah. I really like Javier Bardem as, what's his name, Stilgar. I also enjoy Florence Pugh. Nothing too special from Florence. She's always good, you know? So, like, nothing like mind-blowing from Florence Pugh. I thought she did her role really well. I like Brolin. Christopher Walken, obviously, is there. Lea Seydoux, Stellan Skarsgård. Like, the cast keeps going on and on. And I don't think there is a single weak performance from any of them.
No. All the performances are great. Even all the side characters and such. They're amazing. Yeah. Yeah. It brings so much life to the world. Just the world itself just feels so lived in. That's what I really liked about it. Yeah. You can see they showcase like the cultures and their beliefs, but they don't really like shove it in your face type of deal.
Right.
You just kind of get to experience it. That's what I really enjoy about it. Yeah.
Right. No, I agree with you. Like the world building, they set it up really well. Like just the different aspects of the various houses, Atreides, Harkonnen, like the various.
Even the Fremen, the southern one, the one that.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
The northern and southern Fremen, one. how they're different. And I was about to bring up the Bene Gesserit, like they have like their own thing that they have their own agenda and like how they are. Behind the scenes of everything, it's like all very interesting of the world building, which keeps me invested. Which yes, they do in the first one, but like I said, it was like a lot of setup, and there was like a little to almost no payoff in some of the stuff in the first one. But the second one is like really, oh, this is what happens. This is the outcome. This is the like the impact of what this plot point is. So I'm like, oh yeah, this is dope. I'm excited, I'm invested, I'm curious which this character is gonna go, what's gonna happen, is this character gonna die? The stakes are like really high. Like I never knew if a certain character is going to like basically just bite the dust regardless of how they're important to the story or not in terms of like are they the main character. But I feel like, oh, they could probably like bit the dust at any moment. So I'm like, oh, very invested with all of those.
Yeah, because that's how an actual war is supposed to be, right? You don't know when the character's gonna die.
Right. And you're talking about the war sequence too, like you said, the action, a lot of moments I was just like so giddy at seeing like I'm like, oh my god, this is so cool. So you're like, every time they ride the sandworm, it's like so badass. Every time they like ambush some different like groups and everything, it's like, oh, this is so cool. So yeah,
whenever I saw those damn explosions, woo, beautiful.
Really dope, really dope. Yeah. Yeah, again, like everything I've said, like the visuals and everything, Denis Villeneuve, really, I don't know if anyone else could have directed this with like handling this whole thing. I think Denis Villeneuve just did a fantastic job just balancing everything and making everything work in this story, just the balance of the sci-fi and keeping it grounded at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there any specific like plot issue? I know we've been going non-spoiler a little bit here. Is there any specific things that you want to bring up, like spoiler based, that you have issues with, that you like?
I mean, if you're going to go to spoiler territory right now, mm-hmm. I just kind of want to get to the part where I'm really shocked at, which is, again, spoiler warning, I guess. All right. At the end, when
I think I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, and Paul was going to marry off, what's the name, Florence Pugh character or something, take her hand. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, mm-hmm. whoa, Chani's right there, man.
Okay, that's not where I thought you were gonna mention. Interesting. Okay, keep going, and then I'll tell
no,
you.
No, no, I was just kind of surprised by that, and I'm, you know, it's like, man, read the room, guys. Like, Chani's right there, Florence Pugh's there. I don't think she even wants Paul that much.
I saw that part coming because in the film there was a moment where they're like, Paul, don't be blinded by love. Remember what your duty is, something like that. And I was like, oh yeah, he's gonna abandon Chani at one point with someone. I didn't know who. I thought it's going to be with Lea Seydoux, like the Bene Gesserit, because Lea Seydoux like seduce Austin Butler's character. But when it's Florence Pugh, and I was like, that makes a lot more sense, because like royalty and everything, and he wants
just the emperor's daughter, right?
Yeah, yeah. The emperor's daughter. So yeah, Lady Irulan. So yeah,
yeah.
But that wasn't the part that I thought you were surprised with. There was a part that I was. Also, not that one. Anya Taylor-Joy makes a cameo in this film. She's going to be a big part in the next one, I'm guessing.
I joked. I watched this with Arik, right? Mm-hmm. I joked with him that they just borrowed her from the set of Furiosa.
Yeah, she already sent Planet and everything like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. But that wasn't the scene
that you want to talk about then?
There was a scene that makes me literally like, oh my god, what the hell? I did not see it coming. So there is a sequence in the film where male characters, men, basically if they do this, they will not survive. It's the blue, it's the liquid of water of life. What did they call it? The water of life? Liquid of
water
life?
Of life, I think.
Water of life, I think. So obviously it's a dune, like water is very sacred. They recycle all their water, it's just like very disgusting but very smart as well, I guess. And they like suck water from other humans that they don't care for. So it's like, that's very interesting. But yeah, there is this part called Water of Life where they basically like grab this liquid inside of the sandworm, baby sandworms, or like infant sandworm or whatever. So they do that, it's blue water, and basically women can survive consuming it. Men shouldn't be allowed to because they will not survive, because they have a chance of either dying or basically being able to see the future or seeing the past. Basically, they can see everything, which is like one of the powers of the Bene Gesserit again. Because they're like space wizards a little bit, sort of witches in a way. So when that sequence happened and it reveals Paul's ancestry, and turns out he's a Harkonnen.
That one's
when he is a Harkonnen, I was like, what does this mean? What does this mean? I'm like, whoa, that's insane. And like, because the mother doesn't know as well. She like, I didn't know until I drank it. I was like, oh, okay, interesting. And like at the very end, High Cousin is like when he's fighting Austin Butler's character.
Yeah. Like,
it's crazy, that reveal. I did not see that coming. That was like the big one. I was like, whoa, okay, that's the sequel is going to be very interesting to see what this covers. So yeah.
I honestly forgot about that reveal until just now.
And this makes me think. One. This makes me think a certain comparison about this film, and it's kind of sucky, but at the same time also not, because it's like a good thing to compare it to. But when you think of Dune, I'm gonna ask you this question, Calvin. When you think of Dune, what other movie comes to mind that's like similar in vibe?
The older Dune.
When, like Dune in general, first instinct, if you have to think of like a similar movie that's like, okay, Dune, sci-fi movie, sand planet. What do you think?
When I mean sand, I guess. So first thing that comes to mind is Mad Max.
that's not what I thought we were going.
Are you thinking of Star Wars?
Star Wars.
Yeah, I don't.
And you know what's crazy? You know what's crazy? It's because, well, first of all, sand planet in space. Mm-hmm. Okay. A guy who is sort, quote unquote, the chosen one. Mm-hmm. People follow them, look for them for hope. Big reveal, he is the son of the bad guy. There are quote unquote space wizards where they gain power. And you know what's insane? Dune came out way earlier before Star Wars came out. So it's like, it's very blatantly obvious that George Lucas steals the idea from Dune and make it happen. And I actually did look this up. What's the name? Frank Herbert, who wrote Dune, was like, well, can we sue him? Like, they literally try to sue him, and they make like an anti-Star Wars, anti-George Lucas community or something like that. It's very funny. Of like, if you look it up, like Frank Herbert, like Dune, basically Star Wars thing. But yeah, it's very clear that Star Wars steals Dune's idea, and like, not, it's like basically, can I borrow your homework? Yes, but make sure to change it. But like, it's not, it's like really obvious. But yeah, it's crazy now, because when you, people who don't read the book, when they see Dune, they're gonna be thinking like, oh, this is Star Wars. But in reality, yeah, it's the other way around. Star Wars stole from Dune. So yeah, and it's going to be a trilogy, and obviously Dune Messiah is the next book that Denis Villeneuve said he's going to direct, but it's not greenlit yet, so hopefully it gets greenlit soon, especially with all the money it's making.
It's gonna get greenlit, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you don't you think it's funny that's like kind of dead now? It's like, oh, and like also spies, like how there is like something called spies which give them like power and everything like that too. So yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
So
I'll say though, Star Wars is somewhat still, it's just more iconic with all the costumes and such, you know.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, because I guess it's ironically enough, it sets the trend and everything. Even because like Dune was like, people thought it's like, oh, it's unadaptable for the longest time. So,
and they, I mean, they tried and it wasn't that good, right? The older movie.
It wasn't. The older movie wasn't great. There was also another attempt of like, I believe it's like a French director like a while ago attempt to direct a Dune movie prior to David Lynch's Dune, who did 1980s Dune. That's David Lynch. But I believe before that there was like a French director who worked with I forget the guy's name, but you know the Xenomorph from Alien.
Oh yeah. That
the guy who designed the Xenomorph, like the forgot. Yeah, he basically like tried to do creature design tried basically the stylistic style of it for the Dune, but it never panned out. So yeah.
Dude, that would be so perfect for the creature, or I don't know, people in the Harkonnen base thing.
Yeah, like
the
creepy
looking
ones.
Very
creepy.
That would have
been
that would have been great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess back to the movies a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I forgot to mention this one. Stilgar, man. He's such a comedic man.
Yeah.
Me and Eric laughed so hard when, what's his name? It's like Paul was saying like, no, I'm not Lisa Nagai and such. And then he was like, whoa, he's so humble. He must be Lisa Nagai.
he's like doubting himself. He's like, wow, Lisa Nagai is actually very humble. Oh. It's so good, man. It's so
that
good.
Guy is so... Stilgar is one of the better parts of the movies, man.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's awesome.
Anything else you want to add, Albert?
Just again another similar comparison, because it's like, it's very, I see Dune more fantasy than sci-fi, just because obviously there's like the wizard aspect of it, and like they have a whole thing of like, oh, all computers are like destroyed. There's like no really computers. Everything is like, it's like the human is like smart, right? So it's like, it's very more fantasy. And because of the fact of like, oh, it's like this big fantasy epic war vibes. There is going to be three of them. Hopefully we already got two. It's giving me a lot of like Peter Jackson, Lord of the Rings vibe of like what Peter Jackson, Lord of the Rings did for 2000s. This could be like for the 2020s version of it, of like this big fantasy epic, incredible cast, war and everything. So yeah, just it's just giving me a lot of that vibe in terms of comparison, in addition to the comparison of like Star Wars, obviously. So yeah.
That is true. Well, hopefully, I guess. Hopefully the third one keeps a trend of how good all this is. I'm hoping from the third one, more sand, more worm riding, man.
Well, they're going out of the planet, are they not?
Wait, are they? I don't know.
I thought at the end of them, they're like, well, let's bring the war to them.
Oh, right, the holy war thing.
Yeah, that's the true. Yeah. And also, again, I've never seen the book. I've never seen anything. I have a feeling, I don't know why, I have a feeling that Paul is going to somehow become bad. Or maybe he would, not necessarily bad, but he's not the protagonist that he thought he would, that what we are thinking he will be. I don't know why I'm getting that vibe from it. Maybe I'm very wrong.
In part two, around the end, we kind of, he seems more, what is his name, unhinged.
Yeah.
Around the end, yeah.
When he gains sense. All the knowledge,
it's like saying what's his name, silence to the Bene Gesserit, one of them. I was like, oh, that's rude.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, right. One more. I forgot again to add this part. The scene when, what's his name, Paul writes the worm for the first time. That was cool as hell.
Oh, I mean, yeah, that's very dope.
That was sick. That was so cool, man.
Him
running on the sand, just like jumping to it. Oh,
yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Even better at the end when we see like the, I think there are like three or four worms. We get to see three or four worms like just going to the base to attack.
Mm-hmm.
That was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like all the sequence, like you said, like the wide shots all look like so dope. So yeah.
All right. I don't have anything else to add, do you?
No, I don't think so. Like I said, everything is like just so well done, incredible stuff, and I'm so excited to see the next one.
So rating.
Out of rating five.
Out of five, yeah, Letterboxd rating.
I have to go with 5 out of 5.
All right, I'm with you there. 5 out of 5 as well.
Yeah, I cannot think of like a single, like very maybe minor nitpick, but like there's not that much that I'm like have issues with. It's just like I was so mesmerized the whole time.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I don't want this to end. I want to see it keep going. So yeah.
Yeah, even with the bits of complaint that I have with it, like the amount of good stuff just kind of make those complaints insignificant. Yeah. All right. Anyway, yeah, that's 5 out of 5 from Albert and me, Kelvin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can't wait for part 3. But other than that, you know, like the video, share it, subscribe, and comment down below what you guys thought of Dune part 2. Yeah.
Yeah. We love to hear your thoughts. Dune Messiah. Yeah. Well,
don't spoil that.
Sure. Yeah. True.
All right, I guess that's about it, and we'll see you on the next one.
Peace.